Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we just have a lot of news for you and a few video shows and videotapes and stuff. And I just wanted to see if there was anything here that I could.
No, this must have that we already did.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't read this one. Oh. You read that one?
California, the answer sheet. California may jail parents if kids are truant. Talk about parental responsibility. The California Senate just passed a bill that could send parents to jail for up to a year if their kids from kindergarten through eighth grade miss too much school. Senate Bill 1317 is actually a public safety measure, according to state Senator Mark Leno, Democrat of San Francisco, because children who don't attend school regularly or drop out early are more likely to turn to crime. Three-quarters of our state in my population are high school dropouts, Leno was quoted as saying. parents...
I had you on there.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. To find someone guilty... Under the bill, prosecutors would have to prove that the parents failed to reasonably supervise and encourage the student to attend school. How much school is too much school to miss? Chronic truancy would be as missing 10% or more of the school year without a valid excuse. The bill is the brainchild of San Francisco District Attorney. Okay. Let's see what else we have here.
I thought it would be. We should read this. I didn't. Do you want to read that or read it?
Yeah, you could start it.
Pre-planned to come in Washington D.C. Still okay.
David,
I gotta go up to the. Okay.
What's that one?
Dozing
another excuse for government control over our lives. Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics warning parents. Huh.
Yeah, and dangerous drugs. Don't tell it to the old Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics and Drugs. The government agency has declared that eye dosing induces the same kind of mind-altering effects as marijuana, cocaine, peyote, and opium. Kids are going to flock to eye dose websites. That's iPod dosing. Just to see what it's all about, and I can lead them to other places. If you want to reach these kids and save these kids and keep these kids safe, parents have to be aware and have got to take action, said Mark Woodward, a spokesman for Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs. So dire is the threat. Oklahoma's Mustang High School recently sent home letters to parents warning them of the dangers of eye dosing. Okay, and I'm going to play it. Oh, I can play the video on that.
Sure.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about you, but I'm not about to run out and experiment with the latest fad. This is from InfoWars, known as eye dosing, a gimmick that supposedly uses binaural tones to create euphoria. Simply put, eye dosing is the attempt to achieve a perceived drug high from listening specially engineered sounds and music. Before Psychology Today, is it a real drug? Probably not. Or is it a real drug? Probably not. But don't tell that to Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics Drugs. Okay? I just read that part. But state lawmakers and congressmen have yet to catch on to the proposed draconian laws to prevent this scourge from spreading. But give them time. Back in 2001, a link between heavy television watching and Alzheimer's disease was discovered. Oh.
Huh.
The government is not clamoring to outlaw the idiot box or pass laws limiting the number of hours spent before it. Real honest pharmaceutical drug, antibiotics, anticonvulsant, mood stabilizers, and sex hormones are in the drinking water supplies of at least 41 million Americans.
Oh my gosh.
In addition... Illegal drugs like cocaine and LSD end up in the water, as the studies in Europe reveal. And not only are public officials not doing anything about this involuntary form of drug dosing, they are refusing to disclose results of pharmaceutical screenings. But never mind this involuntary dosing. So-called researchers are now advocating government put lithium in the water in order to curb suicide. We already know that lithium can act as a powerful mood stabilizer for people with bipolar disorder, and treating people with lithium is also associated with lower suicide rates, said some researchers, who added that this outrageous prospect certainly merits more investigation. And eventually, the corporate media will hype the exaggerated threat proposed by eye dosing to the point where the government will dream up and enforce ultimately the way a SWAT team myriad laws or myriad of laws that will add thousands of individuals to state prison industrial complex.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
So let's just listen to this, about 2 minutes or so.
Taking a stand against the latest internet craze. Have you ever heard of this? It's called eye dosing. And websites are luring kids with free downloads of so-called digital drugs, which are audio files designed to induce drug-like effects. Adriana Ivashinsky has just returned from Mustang Live with the details on this alarming new trend. I've got to admit, I'd never heard of it before.
Kelly, parents really need to listen up on this one. That's because all kids need to experience these digital drugs are headphones, their computer, and an MP3 player. Though the websites that tout them say they're a safe and legal way to get high, the theory is it could lead to illegal drug use. Digital drugs are all over the internet, touting a free, legal, safe way to get high.
Oh my God.
And images of teenagers trying it are all over YouTube. It's these images that has a lot of parents, educators, and law enforcement officials with the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics concerned.
Kids are going to flock to these sites just to see what it's about, and it can lead them other places.
It sounds like this, and uses binaural or two-tone technology to alter your brainwaves and mental state. Kelly Johnson is a parent and teacher and had never even heard of eye dosing or digital drugs until now.
Well, just scary, definitely scary, to know that, you know, just one more thing, one more thing to look out for.
Recently, Mustang Public School sent out a letter warning parents about the new trend after several high school students reported having physiological effects after trying one of these digital downloads. Students and graduates are still talking about it.
I've heard it was like some weird like demons and stuff through a iPod or something, and he was just freaking out. Like,
people should be concerned about it. It's not something that should just be overlooked.
We had never come across anything like this, and anything that is going to cause these physiological effects in a student, that causes us concern.
Mustang schools are doing what they can to put a stop to it, including cracking down on the use of cell phones and other technology while on campus.
We try very hard to be vigilant, and we ask that the parents, you need to be vigilant too.
And the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics tells us that parental awareness is the key to preventing future problems, since eye dosing could very well indicate a willingness to experiment with drugs.
So that's why we want parents to be aware of what sites their kids are visiting and not just dismiss this as just something harmless on the computer. If you want to reach these kids and save these kids and keep these kids safe, parents have to be aware and they've got to take action.
Now, another concern OBN has is that many of these eye-dosing websites lure visitors to actual drug and drug paraphernalia sites. So, Kelly, this is yet another reason why parents really need to be proactive and not only talk to their kids, but check what they're downloading.
Parents just cannot let their guards down at all, can they?
Amazing. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Makes real sense.
Yeah, they can do it. It's done. Economy heading for a systemic collapse into a hyperinflationary Great Depression.
Oh, great.
How are you doing?
This is by the Money Oracle.
Yeah.
Interview with John Williams.
I don't know if we want to go through all that.
Oh, it's pretty long.
It's an interview anyway. You want to go through that?
Yeah, anyway? I could be the...
You want to be the energy report?
We'll read every other one. Yeah, the energy report.
Okay.
A few months back, John, you said if you strangle liquidity, you always contract an economy, and deliberately or not. Liquidity is being strangled, resulting in a sharp decline in consumer credit, commercial and industrial loans. Does this mean that it would spur more economic growth if banks actually started lending.
It sure wouldn't hurt. We're still seeing contractions in liquidity, and that's adjusted for inflation. Excuse me. In real terms, M3 money supply is down almost 8% year over year. It's the sharpest fall in the post-World War II era. And if it's not so much the depth of the decline in the liquidity or the duration, but the fact that the liquidity turns negative year over year, that signals the economy is turning down. And we had the signal in December of 2009 indicating intensification of the downturn in this case within 6 to 9 months. Mm-hmm. We're in the time frame now and see softening numbers. People are talking about a weaker economy. Even Bernanke has described the economy as unusually uncertain in terms of its outlook. And wording like that from the Fed is pretty good indication that something is afoot.
Why is M3 still contracting?
Just as you noted, the banks are not lending. The money the Fed put into the system in terms of buying mortgage-backed securities from the banks and trying to help bank liquidity ended up back with the Fed as excess reserves. We have well over $1 trillion there. Had the bank loaned the money in the normal stream of commerce, it would have added more than $10 trillion to the broad money supply, which otherwise is up around $14 trillion. That certainly would have had some inflationary impact, if not in terms of actual business activity. You can actually get the economy to grow by pushing money into it. Sometimes it's like pushing on a string.
And you say that, this is kind of a long article, and you say that, contracting money supply is a sure sign of trouble?
When it contracts year over year, adjusted for inflation, that's a single or a turndown or an intensified turndown. It happens every year. Squeeze liquidity and
every time. Not every year.
Oh, yeah. Squeeze liquidity and business activity contracts. And on an occasion, we've had recessions without a preceding turndown in the money supply. And sometimes the money supply has turned positive, but the economy has not followed, again, pushing on the string. This goes on and on and on. I don't know if you want to read, do you want to read this?
It's kind of a long one, but that's the gist of it.
And the thing that they see, this is kind of over the heads of most people, because the thing that people don't realize is that banks create their own money, okay?
So there's plenty of money there.
Yeah. So what happens is, but the liquidity factor is not there. I mean, there's nothing to back it with, right, essentially. But the banks make the money for every dollar that they put in, that's in the bank in deposit, the bank can lend out 9, which is, well, their own money, okay, which is the way money is made. And that is absent, and that's why they're worried that they have over $1 trillion in the bank now, but if the bank started lending, that could go up to around $14 trillion.
Yeah.
All right, and they don't want any more. What would happen is you got all this useless, worthless money. Sounds ridiculous, but it is. That's how it is. You got too much money. All right, too much paper money. All right, and let's go back. U.S. drone strike. Destroys house full of children in Pakistan.
The Obama administration's policy of escalating drone strikes took another hit today after the explosion from a drone attack against the house of a suspected militant in North Waristan also destroyed a neighboring house full of women and children. The combined toll from the blast was 20 people killed, with at least 4 women and 3 children among the slain. At least 13 other civilians were also reported wounded, including a number of other children. The large number of civilians, 700 in 2000 alone, killed in the U.S. drone strike. 2009 alone, killed in the U.S. drone strikes has fueled considerable anti-American sentiment in Pakistan. When pressed during a previous visit, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton shrugged off the concerns about civilians, saying only there's a war going on.
Man, is that woman kind of
heartless?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
that's a heartless
that's
kind of
heartless
thing.
She's a globalist. This is interesting, this one, I thought.
Oh, problem, reaction, solution.
Yep. And the CFR is the Council on Foreign Relations, Globalist, Zionist, Hegelian Dialectic, New York Mosque Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tony Cartolucci's The Anatomy of Globalist Propaganda Operation has exposed the fact that the New York imam, Faisal Abdul Rauf, the frontman of the near Ground Zero Mosque, is a CFR member, and that is Cordova's initiative, and his Cordova initiative and the American Society of Muslim Advancement are at least partly funded by the usual suspects in the New World of Disorder, including the Carnegie Corporation of New York, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers, Rockefeller Philanthropy, and the Rockefeller Brother Fund. All right?
Mm.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's not too long.
Of course, the mainstream media has failed to inform us of this little bit of information in their nonstop fear-mongering and freedom of religion reporting. It's hard to spin the CFR as either neocon or neo-lib because its members are comprised of both, as well as who's who list of criminal globalist bankers and corporations.
That's a new one now, the neoliberal. Okay,
yeah,
that's a new term that they've come up with. I don't know if you know that, if you heard that recently.
No.
Yeah, the neoliberal, okay, and the neocon, all right? Neoconservatives, neoliberal. They're both the same damn thing. Okay, neocons are really extreme liberals, all right? I hate using liberal. They're extreme. They're fascists, basically, is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
But they're not liberals at all.
No, they're not liberals, and they're fascists. And it's hard to spin the CFR as either neocon or neolib because the members are comprised of both. Right? CFR,
it's a fascist organization.
Council on Foreign Relations, right? Whether Rauf is a CFR globalist stooge or a willing participant in a pre-planned and ongoing Hegelian dialectic conspiracy remains to be seen. Hegelian dialectic means that in Hegel, the developed the divide and conquer theory. All right,
uh-huh.
You set up those two opposing forces against each other over a ridiculous issue, like abortion or gay marriage or now the mosque issue. Okay, and it's a dialectic conspiracy. Okay, and what they're doing is the effect is the same. Division among Americans to distract them from the ongoing economic thefts, never-ending wars, and loss of constitutional freedoms. Right? See, as long as we stay in that stupid and idiots, idiots like Scarborough and idiots like, all these idiots, every idiot on television, okay, is a freaking flamer. Okay, trying to create this war. It's like the war between MSNBC and Fox News.
Yeah.
Okay, they're both owned by the same damn group of people.
So what does
right?
say?
Yeah. So it's a joke. The effect is still the same division among Americans to distract them from the ongoing economic theft, never-ending wars, and loss of constitutional freedom. Who benefits again? The CFR corporate members. Remember, the CFR meaning the Council on Foreign Relations. Okay, the corporate members are the most obvious, but that's just the short list. Those who profit from the so-called clash of civilizations are many and varied. No discussion of the major metafactors of this clash would be complete without mention of Israel and their Zionist supporters. The goal of Greater Israel, and indeed the continued existence of this rogue state, depends on the contrived concept of us, the Western world, versus them, the Muslim world. And a new peace process will be derailed. Israeli expansion and genocide will continue, and the U.S. will go on bleeding to death from the wounds of blackmail and bribery inflicted by our best friend in the Middle East. The New York Mosque conspiracy, which includes the false official 9/11 narrative, will continue until the think tanks decide there needs to be a resolution. There will something else along with the same lines to distract us. There always is. The bankers, war profiteers, and the CFR will see to it.
Yep.
And that was by Kenny's Sideshow.
Whoever that is.
Yeah, it's a blog. But it's good. It's good. It's good. Let's see. U.S. said preparing new laws to seize American retirement accounts.
Oh, boy.
You want to read that one, or are you on that?
First, they destroyed private health insurance.
Yep. This is by the EU Times, by the way.
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay, hang on a second. It's coming. Read this earlier. It's good. Okay.
First, they destroyed private health care in America. Yes, the socialist Democrats won their first battle to destroy the private health care system in the U.S. But the automatic IRA bill now in Congress is their next attack to also control, confiscate, and destroy the private retirement system. Ultimately, nationalizing health care is designed to create a major new government revenue stream by replacing private health insurance with a nationalized mandatory government program, and their goal is identical with your retirement plan. Washington will decide the annual forced health care premiums on all Americans, with the middle and upper wage earners paying for higher premiums than the subsidized voting constituencies who will be the primary beneficiaries of the program. The goal is to allow Washington to steal much of the annual health premium for current revenues needs and to bail out and subsidize with your premiums the health programs for the voting blocks of poor and underemployed illegal unions and millions of city, county, state, and federal employees. Eventually, there will be no private competition available, except for the, I don't believe this, I can't even read this.
Okay.
For the wealthy, and Washington will troll, it's just, I don't know, I don't
know. Well, it's kind of like the, you know, when they were trying to privatize everything and privatize them.
Yeah.
This may be a little slanted on that.
Yeah, I think
but,
so.
But I but you may have something there. Okay.
We have a video here.
Yeah, there's one here somewhere.
Right there.
This was an interesting one. This is very interesting. This is how they're dumping
old medicine.
Old medicine, right? And expired medicine and junk. All the junk, okay, is going to Gaza. Or as
relief.
Charitable relief.
Millions of dollars of medicine turning into trash at Gaza's main dump. This is aid donated by the international community. Local health officials say 70% of all the medical aid they've received since the end of last year's war with Israel is unusable, and now they are getting rid of it.
They are sending us a lot of items we don't really need. Sometimes they send us items we can't use at all or too much of it. At the same time, they are sending us medicine, which is about to expire.
Officials say around 20% of all medicine sent to Gaza in the last 18 months had already expired or was about to expire. This figure is backed by the World Health Organization. Another issue is donated medical equipment. It's often up to 10 years old. Outdated or broken, incompatible with the local electricity supply, or simply not what hospitals need. Some doctors say Gaza has become a dumping ground for unwanted medicine.
One of the biggest problems is how to dispose of the medicine. Now, Gaza doesn't have the facilities to do it properly, so instead it's dumped out here, right next to the rest of Gaza's garbage.
Rubbish workers unload these trucks with bare hands and little protection, adding to Gaza's mountain of garbage.
Gaza Strip is a small area, 360 square kilometers, in which there are no space for human beings. So what about the hazardous materials that should be disposed? These materials should be disposed in a proper way that cannot be leaked to the to the aquifer.
The health department won't name individual donors which have sent aid they believe is a waste. But 2 months ago, Gaza received $2 million worth of Tamiflu drugs for the H1N1 virus from a country in the Gulf. This is after the threat of the virus had passed. Gaza's doctors say they didn't need these drugs, so they've ended up here as well. And officials say Asian donors often send huge quantities of poor quality, unsuitable drugs that have to be disposed of. But really, it's the patients who suffer. Gaza has a list of 115 drugs it urgently needs, like antibiotics and cancer drugs.
I'm calling on people all over the world to stand behind the sick people in Gaza. They're suffering from missing drugs because of the siege on the borders. We requested a lot of medicine more than a year ago.
Instead, doctors say the international community's refusal to deal with Hamas and coordinate aid means they are receiving the wrong types of drugs. No one doubts donors' good intentions, but this dump is a clear message to the world. Stop sending medicine that can't be used and give Gazans the aid they need. Nicole Johnston, Al Jazeera, Gaza.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's something else that I thought was interesting. There's the U.S. counted in the Census Bureau. This is by Henry Mackow, and he's kind of interesting guy. De facto immigration reform. The 14.5 million U.S. census, $5 billion U.S. census, asked your national origin, but it didn't ask if you were a U.S. citizen. An estimated 20 million illegal immigrants were counted as citizens. This is written by Andrew Lanyard for henrymackow.com. I was one of half a million people hired to work on the 2010 census, which cost $14.5 billion, more than three times the 2000 census. The 2010 census cost about $47 for every man, woman, and child in America. The census asks every conceivable question except the obvious one, are you a citizen? It asks about everyone who lives in your household but made no effort to determine citizenship status. Think of it as don't ask, don't tell. It asks if your kids are adopted and whether you have a mortgage. And do you identify yourself as Hispanic, Mexican, Chicano, Puerto Rican, Cuban, etc. But it never asks about citizenship. Given the fact that there are tens of millions of illegal aliens in the country, plus, of course, many other people here legally but not citizens, the significance and real purpose is to make sure that as many non-citizens as humanly possible are included and are therefore represented in the apportionment of Congress. Given the fact that there are tens of millions of illegal aliens in the country, plus, of course, many other people are legally but not citizens, the significance and real purpose is to make sure that as many non-citizens as humanly possible are included and are therefore represented in the appropriateness of Congress. The Constitution says the purpose of the census is to properly apportion representation in Congress. Our congressmen represent the citizens of their state, so I had assumed that the census would be counting only citizens, but no, it counts everyone living in the United States, whether they are citizens or not, and that includes illegal aliens. Of course, illegal aliens might be reluctant to come out of the shadows, as they say. So now it made sense why there was such a great effort to ferret everyone out, even if it meant intruding on people's lives. And one of the major goals of the census is to include every non-citizen, including every illegal alien, in the final count. This means that the census is now deliberately anti-constitutional. If illegal aliens are counted in California, then California will be sure to get additional seats in Congress, despite the fact that many citizens have been leaving California over the last 10 years. The same is true of other states with large numbers of illegals. By the same token, other states, like where I live, which are relatively few immigrants, are in danger of losing representation. In fact, if California and other states gain, then states like mine must lose. This is the exact opposite of the true and only constitutional purpose of the census. To appreciate how strong an effect this can have, we just have to consider how many illegal aliens there are in the U.S. The figure is typically given as 12 million, but that's a government media figure. Before it got swallowed by its competitors, with the government's help, Bear Stearns did a demographic study of the question. They had no axe to grind. They just wanted an honest figure for its bearing on making financial decisions. They concluded about 3 years ago that conservatively there were 20 million. Did you hear that, Lila? Demographic destruction. That's why they destroyed Bear Stearns, probably. because they knew the truth. Demographic destruction. I'm all for welcoming immigrants as long as they here come here legally, are willing to work, and our economy can accommodate them. But for more than 20 years, we have been inundated with millions of immigrants whose culture is not only radically different from ours, but who have no desire to assimilate. Each year has been like a slow-motion reenactment of John Respall's apocalyptic novel, The Camp of the Saints. This is true of Canada as well. Unending flood is leading to the demographic destruction of America. This process can still be stopped before it's too late, but it seems to me we are close to the tipping point. Unfortunately, the government wants to continue and even advance this process. This is true of both political parties. I assume the real purpose is either to create the conditions for a merger of the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, or else foster the breakup and balkanization of America. Either result would serve the goals of the Illuminati. In its own modest way, the 2010 census has been a part of this process. It expended great effort and spent double-digit billions to count and lock in the tens of millions of non-citizens who are now in our country. It is counting them so that Congress will soon be appropriated in a way that gives them as much representation as Americans, and in a way that erodes our own representation. It's a form of de facto merger, de facto immigration reform. Unfortunately, in my own modest way, I was a part of the process too. I needed the money, and I'm grateful for the friends I made. But I can't help feeling ambivalent. I thought I would be doing something worthwhile, and I tried to do a good job, but now it's clear to me that my efforts were made to serve subversive ends. And he has a thing about what questions were asked on the 10 questions that they asked them. And how many people living in the house, you know, they have chicken coops or whatever. Yeah, it's kind of irrelevant. But I think it was a very good thing. I thought this was interesting as well.
What's that?
Against holism. Just occasionally, I come across a medical hero, a doctor willing to break the conspiracy of silence that exists among doctors about the damage caused by their tools. My hero of the hour is an American psychiatrist called Grace E. Jackson. Dr. Jackson is utterly refreshing, horrified by psychiatric medicine. In fact, she is horrified by most forms of pharmaceutical medicine, period. She spends her life lecturing and writing about the dangers of drugs and their ability to cause mental illness. Let me go to the Intention Experiment is the name of this group, name of this website, the Intention Experiment. Do you want to read this, or can you?
Yeah, I'm kind of nodding off there a little bit.
Do you want to... So intense is she about the current state of affairs that she felt compelled to self-publish a whistleblower entitled Drug-Induced... Okay. Lila is leaving the building.
It's nice to be with you for a little while, folks. We don't have our interview to play tonight, so
right.
Leo will continue reading the news.
All right. So, thank you. Okay. And we'll see. Spaces and Carol have a vast amount of scientific evidence showing that modern medicine is the primary culprit behind all forms of dementia, one of the most rampant epidemics of our time, drug-induced dementia. A true use for rocket fuel. One of her most outrageous snippets of information concerns the fact that in the 1950s, when doctors first began to treat psychiatric patients pharmacologically, they discovered that synthetic dye and rocket fuel derivatives actually had what they considered some sort of medicinal effect. Thorazine, the first antipsychotic, was born. Now, Thorazine is created from synthetic dye and rocket fuel derivatives, TUBI. Okay, there was only one hitch. The drug caused the patient to become so lethargic that his symptoms aped those of sleeping sickness. The doctors also noticed that over time, the drugs caused all the hallmarks of Parkinson's disease, abnormal gait, tremor, dementia, and involuntary movement. They also stupefied the patient, flattening out all feelings of excitation, leaving behind, in effect, a vegetable. Nevertheless, with a brand of logic particular to modern medicine, these debilitating side effects were welcomed on the premise that they were a damn sight better than a crazed hallucinator. In fact, doctors began to view the arrival of Parkinsonian effects as a benchmark in the patient's therapeutic progress, proof positive that the drugs were actually working. Not so subtle brain damage. The damage caused by psychiatric medicine is only the tip of the iceberg. I began to look into this issue myself and discover a good number of the major classes of drugs that doctors give patients as they bring as they age bring on dementia. Heart drugs, cholesterol-lowering drugs, sleeping pills, antidepressants, narcotics, stimulants, including Ritalin, the ADHD drug given to children, anti-cholinergics, anti-epileptic drugs, to name just a few, all can damage the structure of the brain. Antidepressants shrink the hippocampus of the brain, and statins lower crucial fats of lipids, which compose much of brain tissue. Beta blockers, beta blockers and other drugs that aggressively lower blood pressure, such as calcium channel blockers and ACE inhibitors, also lower blood flow to the brain, creating all the hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. Even good old painkillers, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory class of drugs, can cause a variety of cognitive changes, from delirium to disturbances in memory and concentration. Many of these drugs actually shrink brain volume, destroying the crucial fatty structures of brain cells or causing abnormal accumulation of tissues and vital brain structures. Drug cocktails, even though they represent only 1/7 of the population, the over 65s take 1/3 of all prescription drugs, oh my God, and usually a cocktail of them. So even though they represent only 1/7 of the population, the over 65s, people over 65 take 1/3 of all prescription drugs and use a cocktail of them. The average senior is on 6 drugs at a time, many of which can affect the brain. Given the fact that some 90% of the Americans from their mid-50s onward are taking at least one drug regularly, and nearly 1/3 are taking 5 or more drugs, it's small wonder that dementia is one of the world's fastest-growing diseases, now absorbing $90 billion per year, or 1/3 of America's entire medical bill. It's now expected that 1 in 4 of us will have some form of dementia by the time we reach 80. To put this cost into perspective, America is now spending about 1% of the U.S. entire gross domestic product on largely a largely doctor-induced condition. Medicine has reached the point where it is chasing its own tail, attempting to mop up with yet more drugs and treatments a vast and costly problem it has caused in the first place. Against nature, I tell you all this not simply. To rant against the massive carnage caused by our faulty medical system, but also to illustrate the enormous repercussions that occur whenever we go against our truest nature. The drug-caused dementia epidemic is simply the result of ongoing refusal of our current medical model to consider the body as a holistic entity. In 1970, a German psychiatrist or I'm sorry, a German physicist named Fritz Albert Popp stumbled upon the fact that human beings emit a tiny current of photons, or light from the DNA of every cell, which he labeled biophoton emissions. In his research, Popp discovered something else remarkable. If a medicine was applied to one part of the body, a large change occurred in the number of light emissions, not only from where he'd applied the ointment, but also from distant parts of the body. Furthermore, the size of the change correlated all over the body. Popp soon recognized that this light was a communication channel within a living organism, a means of instantaneous or non-local global signaling. Popp's work affords a glimpse of the body at work, an exquisite interconnected whole, which affects one small body part affects every other part simultaneously. Whenever we atomize anything, but most particularly the human body, taking it apart and attempting to treat it in separate pieces, then we invite calamity. That was fascinating. That's fascinating. And you might want to check that out, the Intention Experiment. It's been the largest mind over matter experiment in history. I'm going to check that out. I'm gonna actually bookmark that, I think, as a page. Because quite fascinating. For those of you who might want to know, what I'm reading from a great website. It's David Icke's, davidicke.com is his site, and he pulls up some great news every day, stuff from all over the world, and so I just wanted to credit him for that. You want to check this out. Kellogg's loves their Frankenfood ingredients. Please take a moment to write to Christina. Let her know that the genetic contamination of organic isn't an excuse to grow more Franken crops. It's one of the reasons we need to get biotech out of the food business. Teach her the dangers genetically engineered ingredients pose to human health and the damage genetically engineered crops are doing to the environment. Tell her that you're part of the Kellogg's boycott, and until they give up a genetically engineering ingredients, you'll be avoiding their products. Now, I've been boycotting Kellogg's ever since they began this boycott, and I suggest you do as well. I'm going to Facebook this right now. I think it's so important that, if you don't mind for 1 minute here, I just want to make sure that I do that. What I'm doing is I'm on my Facebook account here. I'm putting in a petition I just put this up. So if you recently joined Organic Consumer Association Kellogg's boycott, you probably received this letter. Thank you for your comments regarding the use of biotechnology ingredients. Like you, we want only the best ingredients to go into our product. Biotech ingredients are safe and have become common in open market. 60 to 70% of packaged food in the U.S. include biotechnology crops. Even organic ingredients can contain biotech ingredients due to the cross-pollination. We use biotech ingredients based on the backing of the groups used in the World Health Organization, the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, and the American Medical Association that confirm there are no safety concerns. You have placed trust in us to provide healthy, nutritious, and safe foods, and we will continue to evaluate our ingredient supplier and product formulary to give you the best product possible. Please be assured your concerns will be shared with our nutritionists and food developers at Kellogg's. Please take a moment to write to Christina. Let her know that genetic contamination of organic isn't an excuse to grow more Franken crops. It's one of the reasons we need to get biotech out of the food business. Teach her the dangers genetically engineered ingredients pose to human health and the damage genetically engineered crops are doing the environment. Tell her that you're part of the Kellogg's boycott, and until they give up genetically engineered ingredients, you'll be avoiding their crops. Okay? So, just do that. All right? All right. Put your name in there and that stuff. Yeah. But I suggest you do that, folks. Let me see if I got if I can find a video here. That's several good ones. I'd be able to play. Yeah, this is fascinating. This is Ronald Reagan, okay, calling. This is a video. It's a 1 minute video of Ronald Reagan calling the terrorists, or the Taliban, freedom fighters. All right? So I want you to hear this. And then you can tell all these idiot conservatives, Islamo-fascists, okay, that Islam are freedom fighters, okay?
In 1982, Ronald Reagan dedicated the space shuttle Columbia to the resistance fighters in Afghanistan.
Just as the Columbia we think represents man's finest aspirations in the field of science and technology, so too does the struggle of the Afghan people represent man's highest aspirations for freedom. I am dedicating, on behalf of the American people, the March 22nd launch of the Columbia to the people of Afghanistan.
We have logistics from the Afghanistan freedom fighters. There's a man here whose wife was killed in front of their two children. Another one lost his brother in the tunnel on a village in which 105 people were massacred by fire and kept. One of them lost a brother. One of the mayor of that village where that took place. They're here to try and tell the outside world, the free world, what's really going on in Afghanistan.
That was Ronald Reagan calling the Taliban and the Afghani people freedom fighters and supporting them. That was back in the 80s when, of course, it was being fought over by Russia. However, invaded by Russia, but now that it's invaded by the United States, it takes on a whole different term, doesn't it? But it doesn't matter. It's still what it is, and we are invaders, and they are freedom fighters, and I'm sorry, folks, we're in that war for nothing. Space warfare, preparing the battleship for a new imperial venture. That is bizarre, and I think what probably one of the worst things there is right here, is this is third world children being used as lab rats. And by large pharmaceutical companies. This is by Press TV. Third world children, lab rats for U.S. Of course, we've got to remember, well, we do this anyway. We've done this everywhere. We do it all the time, so it's no different. We've done this forever. Pharmaceutical companies have used the third world countries for as testing grounds, not only for bioweapons and chemical weapons and military weapons and so on and so forth, but now they're targeting them for the entire third world population, especially kids, for experimental drugs. Children of the third world countries and nations in transition have become laboratory rats for the U.S. clinical tests for new drugs, an Indian newspaper says. Under U.S. 1997 legislation called the Pediatric Exclusivity Provision, intended to speed up development of new drugs for American kids, the trials were carried out in countries such as Uganda and India. The Times of India reported, although the trials were carried out in such countries using their children as laboratory rats, it is not clear if okay medicines might ever become available there and whether they will be affordable for them. Dr. Sarah Pasquale, a pediatrician at Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina, whose funding appears in the journal Pediatrics, or findings rather, said that the situation raises ethical concerns. The trend that we describe brings up some scientific and ethical problems, she said. Oftentimes, access to a study may be the only access to medical care a family has, Pasquale added. Among the 174 such trials the researchers examined, drugs against infectious diseases were almost likely to be tested in the developing, were most likely, rather, to be tested in the developing world, closely followed by heart, allergy, and arthritis medications. We are now using vulnerable people in vulnerable countries as drug laboratories, Dr. Marcia Angel, another researcher, said. It is all about dollars and cents. And it's quite frightening, actually, that we do this. Let's see. We've got about 8 minutes left here. Let me just see if there's anything more. If not, I'll go right. Okay. Former CIA officer accuses the Mossad of spying on the U.S. This is Press TV again, but a former CIA officer accuses Israeli intelligence agency, the Mossad, of spying intensively on the United States for military and dual-use civilian technology. Philip Giraldi says Tel Aviv's claim of not spying in the U.S. are only intended for the media. Giraldi says that the Israeli lobby is so powerful that Washington cannot address Tel Aviv regarding the spying issue, which has been going on for many years. Thus, the Mossad is spying in the U.S. with impunity, he says. Relations between the United States and Israel have been damaged historically and repeatedly regarding several incidents of Israeli and Jewish spies. In 2008, the U.S. arrested an American suspected of spying for Israel. Ben Ami Kadish had given Israel secrets on nuclear weapons, fighter jets, and missiles in the 1980s. The case was linked to Jonathan Pollard's spy scandal that put U.S. and Israeli relations in jeopardy. In November 1985, the FBI arrested Jonathan Pollard on charges of selling classified material to Israel, which was later sold to the Soviets. Pollard was subsequently sentenced to life imprisonment. His wife, Anne, got 5 years in jail for assisting her husband. Now, that's interesting. And they're still going at it. What else we got here? Well, and Mexican authorities say they have discovered at least 19 bodies of apparent victims of drug cartel wars in the ventilation shaft of a mine near the central city of Pachuca. And it's pretty bad. It's pretty, pretty sad. Yeah, And it goes on and on. Six people die in Venezuela gold mining. Six illegal miners have been killed in an abandoned gold mine in eastern Venezuela, while two others were injured, officials say. First thing I like, Chavez, is that Chavez won't explain about Spain's accusations. Venezuela President Hugo Chavez dismissed Spain's accusation that his government has links with terrorist groups, adding that there is nothing to explain about them. The comments made on Wednesday come after Spanish Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero demanded explanation from Caracas over alleged ties to terrorist group active in South America and Europe. And Monday, Spanish Judge Elwa Vasco accused Venezuela of acting as a link between the Basque Separation Group, ETA, and FARC rebels in Colombia. Velasco also charged a suspected member of ETA with serving numerous high-level roles within the Venezuelan government. Following Velasco's claim, the Spanish government urged Venezuela to clarify its position on the issue that Zapatero, stressing that his government will act in accordance with that explanation. So, there's so many spies and terrorists in our own government. I'm sure the Spaniards have got enough of them, too. I got about 6 minutes left, 4 or 5 minutes left. Let's see if I can find a decent video here. We could finish out with Ronald Reagan. Those voices don't speak for the rest of us. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. I wanted to read this. This is a good one to close on. The facial recognition software that will put a name to every photograph in the Internet. A software company is developing revolutionary software that provides the ability to identify people from photographs posted on the Internet. Face.com has produced technology that can identify individuals on social networking sites and online galleries by comparing their image against a known picture of them. It means the detailed profiles of individuals can be built up purely from the online photographs, and critics have said it could lead to exploitation by employers. All right, this is kind of an important article. It's not that long, but I'm going to read it. The software works by creating an algorithm of the face, measurement of the arrangement of features, including the eyes, nose, and mouth. The company says it is 90% accurate when scanning typical images which appear on social networking sites. Face.com has previously limited the ability of the software over concerns about invasion of privacy. But it is now released the photo finding software to developers building applications allowing people to search for anyone on the Internet. Gil Hirsch, chief executive of Face.com, told the Sunday Times, "We have launched a service that allows developers to take our facial recognition technology and apply it immediately to their own applications. The technology is already being used by 5,000 developers who can basically search for people in any photo. You could search for family members or Flickr in newspapers or in videos or YouTube, but it would take a lot of processing power. The use of facial detection technology has only been used by the UK Border Agency. Google has a tool, Picasa, which allows users to organize their photos by tagging matching faces, and Facebook uses Photo Finder. Supporters of the software, including the Red Cross, have said it could be used to track people lost in humanitarian disasters, but there are strong concerns over the accuracy of the technology and its impact on privacy. And Simon Davis, director of Privacy International, said, "I think this will make many people very uneasy. And the regulators have been hugely behind the curve of protecting people's privacy on the Internet. We need to push for much tighter international rules. Right? And I agree with him. I agree with him fully. But that's pretty much the end of our show tonight. And I think I'm going to end with Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Those voices don't speak for the rest of us. Okay? And we're kind of done right now, but I'm going to finish the show with that. So, here we go.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
Give us more authority and more ability.
All this talk about rules, we make them up as we go along.
A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose.
Put the legislation together to control the people.
We go to the gate's closed, we'll go over the fence is too high, we'll pole vault in. If that doesn't work, we'll parachute in, but we're going to get health care reform passed.
They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate function, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy.
There needs to be a focus on an immediate increase in spending.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
The more the plans fail, the more the planners plan.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? Yes, yes, I'm telling you.
We have so many people who can't see a fat man standing beside a thin one without coming to the conclusion the fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one.
I think there are a lot of very rich people out there whom we can tax at a point down the road and recover some of this money.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
They'll be crying out for public options.
It's the cost, I think, of having the kind of America that we want to have.
Our natural unalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment.
I don't worry about the Constitution. I'm beyond.
What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages?
You have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Those voices don't speak for the rest of us. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth.
There have been times where America's shown arrogance.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Yeah, I got to agree with Reagan there. In many ways, I really do. Not that I agreed with him as a president, but I have to agree with him on those issues. Even though he was the guy that signed off on the, global depopulation, a Global 2000 report, as well as, slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Contras in South America during his presidency, and drove up our defense budget higher than any other president in history. So, for all of that, take it as it is. I mean, he was a great speaker, but he was full of shit. So I want to thank you, and on that note, and good night. And join us tomorrow night as we go into the fourth dimension. And Friday night as we speak with George Dixon. See you then.